exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, good day, good weekend, good night, good afternoon, whatever time it is. I know the podcasting world also gets to listen to this around the world because my friend Jonathan in London always says, hey, what's going on with the podcast? I'm like, hey, calm down. We had somebody hack our website. Unbelievable. I mean, the hackers, they're so busy hacking away. They're like miners. I don't know what they're mining for. They break into your website. They just make your life a nightmare. They're like, you know, like the other day my wife says, the rooster, our rooster got killed, the doggone possum. I'm like, oh, God, that's like the hackers. They're like possums sneaking around in the night. Doggone things. Anyway, yeah, they did hack our website. It was down for a whole week. Now, I heard everything from the $100,000 you guys spent on your website is gone. Yeah, $100,000. By the time you figure all the onboarding and all the crap you got to do these days to design and onboard, can you imagine, you know, a network's website, all the content, onboarding is like loading on the passengers in essence, because each one of these shows is kind of a life. It's a soul and it lives. And it was all gone. It was completely gone. Anyway, to what ended up happening was we have this amazing web person that goes, oh, I can fix that. $280 later, it's all fixed. I'm like, what? I was like preparing to mortgage my house to start over. And she's like, no, it's $280, 4 hours work. I'm like, damn, I love her. Anyway, that's my life. I start out with a little bit from my life today. Cameron Haley's on the line, a buddy of mine. He is a professional stock car racing driver, young man, 20 years old. And while I was working on my truck over the weekend, last weekend, there was a big old race in Vegas, and evidently Joey Logano and Kyle Busch got into a fist fight, and you see it, it's all over the place. I mean, it's been a week ago, but here we go, you know, fist fighting. And so I thought, well, we'll talk to Cameron Haley, who's, again, he's in the career of racing, and he's kind of getting started. So let me start out by Cameron. What do you think when you see these two knuckleheads going at it like that? I mean, is that kind of the way you like racing when it comes to stock car racing? I mean, it's kind of exciting, or is that like, you know, it's like, come on, guys, what do you think?
Well, you know, Alan, I think it could really go one of two ways, and for me personally, as now, obviously, I've been driving in the NASCAR Camping Truck Series for the past 2 years and living my dream as a professional driver. And as a driver, I can attest to the emotions that go through racing.
Right.
And it's easy for us to sit here and say, why did they fist fight? I mean, it can't be that much emotion. But when you're sitting in that seat and you have something happen, obviously, us as spectators can look at it and have our own opinions of what happened. But when you're sitting in that seat and something like that happens, I know how difficult it was. And when I first started, that was the hardest thing for me, is trying to keep my emotions in check. But when you see a driver do that and hurt your chances at a good finish, I know the emotions that go into that. But as a fan, it's awesome.
Well, see, right?
It's all over social media. It is. I mean, you can go on Twitter and see exactly what happened, and that's all you'll see. Martin Truex won the race, and half people don't know that, but they know Kyle Busch and Joey Logano got in a fight.
Right. Well, it's very interesting because, you know, I know Joey Logano. Nicest guy. I mean, we work together with Shell, and Shell's his big sponsor. I wonder how they think about, you know, this little dust-up that they had. But, and that's the other thing. It's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a dangerous thing when you've got these big sponsors that are, you know, they're not wanting to see that. No matter how passionate you are, you know, you still are representing these big old brands as you run around that racetrack. So I don't know. I was talking to Richard Petty one time, and I go, so Richard, what is different today about racing than it was, you know, so many years ago when you were racing? You know what he said? He goes, you know, today there's cameras everywhere. There's drones, there's helicopters. He says, it used to be somebody cut you off and, you know, you go around behind the back of the trailer and you kick their butt. He goes, today you can't do that. Well, maybe somebody ought to talk to Joey and Kurt about that. We'll take a break and come back and talk a little bit more with Cameron Haley. Cameron is also a third generation of the Haley family businesses. and they make Haley cabinets. So if you have a shop or a garage and you want that man cave, maybe you want some cabinets by Haley. We'll talk about that and a little more racing on the other side. You're listening to The Drive. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. I get no doubt.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, we're talking about the little dust-up between Joey Logano and Kurt Busch last week in Vegas. It's still big. It's still, you know, there's still people talking about it, and what are the repercussions going to be, and, you know, what have they already been, and is there more to come, and I don't know. Cameron Haley joining us, professional stock car racing driver, Cameron Haley Motorsports. You can find him on the web at Cameron Haley, HAYLEY.com. That's CameronHaley.com. Third generation Haley in the business, and father was in Haley Industrial Electronics. So you guys had all the equipment and decided once you started racing, you needed to have some cool looking cabinets in your garage and shop, and so decided to start creating your own. And people came along and said, hey, what do you got there? Where'd you get those? And next thing you know, you're in business with the family. And that's where we met over at Barrett Jackson. Matter of fact, you're going to be at the West Palm Beach Barrett Jackson April 6th through 8th. Coming up, actually. It's just a couple weeks away.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it's coming. We're definitely looking forward to being back with Barrett Jackson. It was awesome to meet you and so many great people at Barrett Jackson. And it's just cool. I mean, the racing tie-in with the cabinets by Haley, obviously, a company my dad started about 10 years ago. When we started going to the racetrack, we had all these different toolboxes, and it just came to the point where we could make something better. So we did. Dad made a toolbox, brought it to the racetrack. Everyone loved it, and that's how the business was born. So it's a pretty cool tie-in with everything we're doing to have me involved with racing, Barrett Jackson, and to have the cabinets there.
Yeah, no, it's fun stuff. So now, you are not racing this year. We were talking about the difficulty of getting sponsorships, you and I, you know, offline. And that's the biggest problem plaguing the motorsports world is sponsorship. Because, first of all, racing is a very, very expensive career to get into for you. The only way you can really do it and do it sustainably is to have some of those big sponsors. Like, you know, I work with Shell, and Joey Logano works with Shell, and M&M's for Kyle Busch. And I wonder if, you know, maybe there was a little slap on the wrist and like, all right, no more of that now, come on. But it's funny, I was watching just last night, I was watching some different YouTube things, and I was thinking to myself, fighting, that's people like to watch fighting, whether it's husbands and wives or, you know, people on a bus or, you know, on the NASCAR track. So I don't know whether they're, you know, maybe they're I don't know. I can only imagine that it's a little bit too dangerous to say, all right, well, go ahead and, you know, do what you got to do out there, because you never know. I mean, it could get ugly. But I remember when Tony Stewart threw his helmet at a car, and it was like, you know, the outcome of that whole situation was horrible, as you know. But, you know, still people like to see the passion behind it. Otherwise, what's left? Apathy. It's like, oh, well, you know, I tried and it just didn't work and I got spun around. People want to see that passion. They want to see the fire. But I still think, you know, the sponsorship stuff is the dangerous part for anybody. I mean, look how troubles you're having. And I have so many friends. The 3-time world champion NHRA, Larry Dixon. One year he was like, he's a 3-time world champion NHRA driver, Top Fuel driver. And he goes, I can't get a sponsor. I'm like, what? John Force, same thing. It's like, what? How can this be? But the sponsorships, man, that's the gold, right?
Well, exactly. And that is the biggest thing is sponsorship. And I mean, I can sit here all day and say I'm a race car driver and I have all these sponsors, but at the same time, it's so difficult to get them and to represent them, and it's finding the right fit. And you talk about showing kind of the emotion and stuff, and that is the biggest thing. Is some sponsors want to see that, some sponsors don't. So when you're looking at finding a right fit for you, I'm a guy who likes to show emotion, but I'm not a guy who's going to go up and beat someone. So I have to find that right fit. And you talk about John Force. I mean, a legend in NHRA.
Right.
I can't find one.
Yeah.
And here I am. I mean, a kid from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, who's been trying to make a name in racing. I drove professionally for the past couple of years. But it's like when you compare me to him, well, how, if he can't get one, how am I ever going to get one?
I know.
It's just about finding that. I mean, like you said, it's very difficult. But at the same time, I'm still working every day trying to find the right fit. And if it does, it would be an amazing thing for me to continue my career.
Well, all I can say is best of luck to you. And I know that you're going to obviously keep on racing no matter what happens in some form, some way, shape. Maybe it's through Haley by the Cabinets by Haley. Maybe they can be. Or I know for you, Tap Out. Get those guys from Tap Out and be the fighter. You know,
yeah,
embrace it.
You bet.
Cameron Haley, thank you, brother. Again, you can check out Cabinets by Haley and or find out more about Cameron at CameronHaley.com. All right, Cameron, thank you, brother.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
This weekend, NASCAR in Phoenix. All right. We'll take a little break here on The Drive and come back with more. Stay with us. Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, choice of champions. Free ride. Nothing's free, everybody.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Introducing the newest addition to the Craftsman C3 lineup, the C3 19.2-volt brushless drill driver. A brushless motor means you get 50% more runtime, 30% more power, and a motor life 10 times longer than the traditional brush motor drills. With up to 600 inch-pounds of torque, LED integrated lights, and a Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck to lock bits solidly in place, you'll get even your most difficult projects done fast. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Craftsman, made to make.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Born Dodge. And, of course, Dodge. Domestic, but not domesticated. That's for sure. I have a Dodge Viper, ACR. That I would just call that violent. Anyway, that's the way I live my life. So we got done talking to Cameron Haley. And I asked if he could get Rolly on the phone. And Rolly is the business of development manager over at Cabinets by Haley, Rolly Ashdown. And Rolly, you and I got to spend some time together while I was using the cabinets that you guys built for our stage, our live stage that we did for the live streaming at Barrett Jackson Scottsdale in January. We're going to be doing another event with the beautiful cabinets that you guys made that is part of our display April 6th through the 8th in West Palm Beach. What makes Cabinets by Haley so different than just going down to, you know, whatever store and buying some, you know, and these are not toolboxes. These are cabinets that are designed more for the ultimate garage, the you know, man cave. So what is the difference? How do you describe it from, you know, from your perspective at Cabinets by Haley?
Well, first off, you know, it was really nice talking to you when we were down there in Scottsdale, and I'll tell you why. Because it was minus 15 up in Canada, and that's where we're from. So getting down there was a great break for us.
Yeah, but I was freezing because it was like 40, and you're like, what? And you're walking around with your, you know, your tank top on. And it's like, what are you doing? The rest of the world's freezing.
I know. It's definitely culture shock, but, yeah. But we enjoyed it. And you know what else? Yesterday it was minus 10 here, so we're looking forward to West Palm Beach.
Oh, my God. You know what? Here's the thing. I went to Hawaii one time, and I went out with a bunch of my buddies and, you know, just kind of having a good old time. And I got home, and I had these red spots all over me. And so I went to the doctor because, you know, I mean, where I live was cold, and it was hot and humid in Hawaii like it's going to be in Florida. It's going to be beautiful. But I went to the doctor, and I'm like, what happened to me? Did I get some venereal disease or what? He's like, no. He says, you know, hold on a second. He goes, you know, what was the temperature there? I said, I don't know. It was like 80 or 90. And he goes, And how cold was it where you're from? I said, I was like 32. He said, well, what were you wearing? I said, you know, the same thing I always do, down jacket and boots and blue jeans. He goes, you got a heat disorder or something. You got overheated. So, yeah, kind of funny, you know. And we're going to hit that because you're going to go from that, again, that freezing cold to the beautiful West Palm Beach weather. And a lot of you folks should be going out there, by the way. Make your plans April 6th through the 8th, West Palm Beach, Barrett Jackson, another great auction and exhibition. Of course, the world's greatest. And Rolly and I will be there and Cameron and Cabinets by Haley and everything else. But tell us real quick about what makes Haley Cabinets different.
Well, first off, it's the way that they came to be. You know, the evolution came basically from the oil business. Up here in Alberta, it's kind of like Texas. There's a highway that goes between Texas and Alberta, and all it holds is oil.
Yeah.
You know, because there's oil wells everywhere up here.
Right.
So what happened is the Haley family business is basically, it's a UPS business, uninterruptible power supplies. Now, when they're building those type of things for those oil jacks that bring the oil out of the ground, if they're ever down, they're down for a minute or two, but every minute they're down, it costs thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So when they're building the UPS systems for oil field application, and they got to be outdoors, and like we were just talking about the weather that's up here, you got to build these things for really, really strong weather.
Right, right.
And so that's what they did since 1978. They did that. And then you were talking to Cameron, so there's a parallel evolution, basically, is Cameron's in racing. The company builds these fantastic cabinets. So they build a race shop. They put all the cars together. They got all their tools in, and they can't find anything of an extreme quality. So they got a factory making these things for oil field application already. Why not build quality cabinets? And that's what they started doing.
Well, you said it, extreme quality. And I got to say, the big cabinet that you guys custom made for the stage, the live stage at Barrett Jackson, I went to move it back, and I'm like, what the heck? Okay, well, maybe it's you know, the wheels are locked or something. Nope. So I pushed, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I get one of my guys. You know, of course, it's a big cabinet, but my gosh, that thing was, I mean, it was massive and heavy, and I mean, this is like a lifetime cabinet. I mean, you don't buy one of these and if you move, you leave it there. No, you take it with you. And it's absolutely amazing. Website where people can see more about it, by the way.
It's www.cabinetsbyhaley.com.
Too easy.
Now, here's the thing about cabinets. There's only so many things you can do for quality. One is build them out of thick metal.
Right.
And when you build them out of a thick, strong, quality steel, you've done something well. And the next thing is connecting them together. You can't just screw them together with little wimpy screws. You got to use bolts and you got to use welds and you got to do it properly.
Right.
The third thing you can do is coat them well. And that means you don't just paint them. You powder coat them. And so when you're powder coating things, you're taking a powder and you're charging it with an electrical charge. It sticks to the metal while it's waiting to heat itself and adhere strictly to the metal. And so you do that, and then the next thing you can do is make sure your hinges are of a high quality, so you use a full-length continuous hinge so that there's no wear parts. There's never any worry about things going out of alignment. All you do is balance them up, and they're done.
Well, let me just
put a good hitch on them.
Right, exactly. Well, let me tell you guys, check it out. Go to cabinetsbyhaley.com. If you want extreme quality, I'm going to start using that word now because that is actually the exact right way to describe something when it's got the highest quality, extreme quality. All right.
Alan, after extreme quality, there's only various degrees of average.
There you go. Rolly Ashdown, once again, Cabinets by Haley. Thank you, Rolly. I'm going to take a break. Come back with Carl Brower from KBB. We'll take a break. It is The Drive.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, in life, you can go it alone, like The Drive with Alan Taylor, or you can add interesting people, which is kind of like putting a little spice on your food, right? Otherwise, it's kind of bland. So the spice in my life right now is executive publisher of Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. His name is Carl Brower. You can find his website also, his personal website, carlbrower.com, where you can find out about his Ford GT antics. But yes, Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, executive publisher, big man way up in the golden ivory tower that is either ivory or gold. I don't know. What is it?
It's ivory with gold flakes. Okay. I asked for that.
Well, so listen, I follow you. Of course, we're friends, but I follow you on Facebook, and I saw you in some sort of a leather suit, and I thought, oh, he's into S&M, and then I went, oh, no, he's riding a motorcycle.
Go get the gimp. Go get the gimp.
So what were you doing riding a motor? I didn't know you were a motorcycle maniac.
I am a motorcycle maniac. I've tried to break the habit more than once. But I guess it could be worse. I could have worse habits to have to try to break. But
well, I thought, you know, I knew that you liked classic motorcycles. Like, do you have a Triumph, or what is it you have?
I've had like 5 Triumphs in the last 20 years of my life. Yeah. The only Triumph I have now is a 2015 Scrambler. So I actually have one that like starts and doesn't leave oil marks or anything. But most of them did.
Right.
Most of them left oil marks and didn't start.
You recently went up to, what was it, Thunder Hill Raceway?
Right.
And did like 150 plus car.
Yeah. On 2 wheels. Yeah, no, it was nutty because I'd never been to that track before, and it's a monster track. It's 3 miles and a lot of elevation change, more than one blind turn. There's actually one thing that's very similar to the corkscrew at Laguna Seca where you're coming over a hill and you kind of can't tell what goes on until you get over the top of it, at which point you realize you've kind of been leaning left and you have to go hard right. It's a wild track, and it'd be interesting in any vehicle, but I was there with Moto America racing teams that were practicing for the season.
Oh.
And Moto America is pretty cool. They're into their third season now, and they're basically a U.S.-based MotoGP-type racing. So people who are racing in Moto America, a lot of them are aspiring to get to the World MotoGP that happens all over the planet, but this American-focused one is a great kind of training ground and a great way for the guys to get visibility. And it's cool to have our own kind of racing series within the U.S. And Chris Ulrich is one of their former racers. He just stopped racing like a year or two ago, but he's been doing it for like 20 years, and he still offers these ride-alongs like he gave me. And so, you want to think you're fast.
Wait a minute. You were on the back of somebody's bike? No.
Yeah, I was on the back for a bunch of it. Then I was doing a lead and follow at the end on my own.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, with a motorcycle, it's kind of like a car. Anyone who's ever ridden with an actual good, professional driver,
right?
You never go as fast as they're going. So
right.
You're in the passenger seat. They're talking to you. Half the time they're talking casually to you while they're going about twice as fast as you're capable of going in your most focused,
with a full-on scream going, yeah.
Exactly, hoping you don't crash, and they're going twice as fast while asking you what you had for lunch. So that's what people do in cars, but it's hard to do that on a motorcycle because it's a motorcycle. But
what about helmet-to-helmet communication? Did you have any of that?
No, and that was the interesting part.
So you're holding on for dear life.
Yeah, and there's no way to tell them anything. Like, for instance, you've
I'm
gone 2 laps, you're into the 3rd lap, and your arms are starting to give out, and you're not sure how much longer you can hang on, So it had an intensity on multiple levels
I'll
that
bet.
I've never experienced before. It was, but yeah, so he had me going well over 150 on the front straights, and then, full-on, lean, knee-drag, lean around corners,
heart-breaking,
wheel off the ground, coming out of corners, front wheel off the ground, coming out of corners. It was amazing, and I've been on riding motorcycles for over 30 years.
Well, there's nothing like going, very, very fast on one wheel, and I know you unicyclists are just going, yeah, right, but no, we're talking really fast, right?
Right.
God.
Right.
I took a ride like that one time with a friend that had a Kawasaki 1000, and I believe, I may have been 18 maybe. So early on in my fast driving part of my life, because, until you So you kind of own a fast car yourself. You don't really drive like you would in somebody else's fast car. At least I couldn't get you to in my Viper. But anyway, the guy took me for a ride, and my eyeballs rolled back in my head at the sheer acceleration, and I had like vertigo for a second. And that's a scary feeling.
Yeah.
You don't know whether you're upside down. You know, if you've been in a pool and you hold your nose, you close your eyes, and you spin upside down, and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know if I'm upside down, right side up. I don't know where if I'm going to swim toward the bottom or back to the air. It's like,
right.
I felt that way, and that's, that's how you feel at that speed.
Well, and as you can imagine, too, I mean, I got off it, and I was just kind of like, whoa, and one of the other guys that was part of the whole experience said, yeah, I know that this is different. You know, when you're on a motorcycle and you're controlling it, you know exactly how much strength you need to apply at any given moment. You know,
right.
I'm about to roll on the throttle, grab a little harder. I'm about to lean hard left, grab a little harder on this side. Now, when you're on the back, you have a very general sense of what's going to happen, but you don't know exactly when he's going to go hard on the brakes or hard on the gas or hard left and hard right. So you basically, as the guy said, he's like, yeah, so you have to do the kung fu death grip the entire time throughout the whole experience.
You scratched his leathers with your man fingernails.
Yeah. Well, no, thankfully there was a grab handle on that they had, it was pretty ingenious. You know that the fuel filler is always in the center of a motorcycle tank
right
on the top there. They just basically fashioned a whole new area that, starting with that area, to have two handles that came up. So you could reach around the rider and grab on behind him. And, of course, he's all like, they're like, oh, you can like squeeze with your thighs during braking to stabilize yourself. And I was like, squeezing this guy with my thighs.
Oh, wait a minute. And now you're talking about reach arounds. We'll take a break right there, Carl.
See, we're back to the GIMP again.
We're talking with Carl Brower. You'll have to stay tuned, or we'll have the blue version of The Drive with Carl. Oh, my. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I guess you'd have to have seen Pulp Fiction to know about Bring Out the Gimp, because I haven't seen it, but Carl was trying to explain it to me through the commercial break.
Talking about wearing leather and all sorts of stuff.
Okay. We don't want to offend anybody here. No, not at all.
Hey, man, you're the one who said I was the spicy part of adding your show. Personally, I've always thought of myself as the antacid you take afterwards, but whatever.
Where's the Spice Girls when you need them? The music. I got to get some new music. That's all there is to it. All right. So now that we've gotten past the reach around when you were holding on for dear life on the motorcycle, let's let that be on your – go to your to his blog. Are you writing about this anywhere?
I've actually written the story, but I'm going to publish it closer to the start of their season, so I can kind of dovetail the story with the start of the Moto America race season that's going to start, I think, in April.
All right.
But, yeah, it'll be up, and there's crap load of video we got. We had cameras mounted everywhere, so it should be a pretty interesting and fun story.
Did you do this
watch
for Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, Carl Brower, Forbes? Who are you doing it for?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's who I did it for.
Gotcha. I know they're going to love this particular radio show.
It'll appear in probably multiple, most of those places. And don't forget, we just launched a KBB site in Portugal, and motorcycles are a huge kind of global basis. So I think we're going to use it there, too.
Well, they're going to love about this this particular story. I know by the last segment. Speaking of changing the subject before we get in trouble with the FCC, Geneva International Motor Show was just last week, and it's probably, I don't know, is it going on? I don't know, whatever. It's anyway, a lot of people went. We didn't go. Why didn't we go? What happened? You were busy doing a reach around, and I was busy working on my cars.
Yeah, we had to do other things that we tell ourselves were more important or more professional. But yeah, we didn't make it to Geneva, either of us.
Yeah, but you know what? I think to just button up that last segment about holding on for dear life. No, we're not going back down that road anyway. Let's talk about Geneva. There was some interesting vehicles unveiled there, because otherwise I'm going to get in trouble and continue on that same path we were going. Go ahead.
No, there was some good stuff. You know, Geneva's always a fascinating show, Alan, because it's like the party show. I mean, it really is like the party show of the international show circuit. You know, it's as much or more about really expensive, limited production toys as it is about, you know, what kind of, you know, everyday consumer would or could buy.
Right.
And this one was no exception. You know, you had the new Lamborghini Huracan Performante, you know, which is just like the latest high-zoot version of that. You had an all-new McLaren 720S, which is going to be even faster and lighter than the 650S it replaces. You know, you had all sorts of cool Porsche 911 GT3 with a big whale tail on the back. So, you know, there were plenty of cool cars there. But I think one of the cars I thought was really fascinating, and you can buy it as a regular human, is the new Fiesta ST, which is actually dropping a cylinder from 4 to 3 cylinders, and yet getting more horsepower, and it's going to be quicker.
Hmm.
I thought that's pretty cool.
When you talk about a regular human, because did you see the post I put up the other day about the guy that wants to be an alien, so he's having his genitals removed? Did you see that?
Jeez, I don't know how I missed that one, Alan.
No, seriously, I did post it, but I was forced to take it down by unpopular demand.
Really?
A true story, yeah. A guy who's decided that he doesn't want to be male or female, he wants to be an alien. So when you talk about to be able to buy the Ford ST, you can actually, a regular human can buy it. How do we determine what bathroom the person – oh, well, that's going down another road we don't want to go. Hey, what do you mean a regular human being? You mean other than the cars that are $500,000 or $1 million to buy?
Exactly. I mean someone who actually is somewhere toward the center of the bell curve on income rate
okay.
In the planet, you know. And you know, there's a lot of cars at Geneva. A lot of cars at Geneva you can't buy if you're anywhere in that range, you know, that we saw there. 812 Superfast from Ferrari, you know.
Well, wait a minute. See, but you and I are both regular human beings, and somehow we've managed to buy you a Ford GT, me a Dodge Viper ACR. And neither one of us could afford these stupid things, as you know.
No, we couldn't. We just somehow made it happen anyways.
Right. I think that, but that's the thing. I remember I grew up in a Hispanic community in Southern California. My friends, they had beautiful cars, and they were all body shop owners and people that worked at body shop. But their cars were unbelievable. It's like, you know, they'd pull up in this, you know, 62 Impala that's got all the, you know, metal flake paint and the hydraulics and all that stuff. And then one day I went over to one of my friend's house because I thought, man, these guys got to have money. And they lived in a little tiny pillbox of a house. Their car was worth more than their house. That's you and me right there.
No, it really is. And it's the sign of, some would say, massive financial irresponsibility, but I just call it the massive automotive enthusiasm. But yeah, people whose houses are some high percentage, like 80% to 100% of what their house is worth, then that tells you a lot about where they put their priorities.
You know, it's funny. And I loved it, though, because I thought to myself, you know, the car for a young guy when I was probably 17 or so, the car is the personal conveyance of who you are. So a lot of the people, the lowriders, I think it's in particular, they
yep.
put so much into their cars. It's like, that is their lifestyle. That is their whole thing. You know, that's like, that represents their whole world. And a lot of them, they do it with their families and their friends, and they're actually working on these cars. And they don't really care about having a big, lavish, you know, McMansion the way that most, you know, Americans do. They just really care about, you know, having the coolest car and making sure that it conveys who they are, their messages throughout. I mean, a lot of airbrushing. Matter of fact, the reason why I started down this road for a moment is because I used to be an airbrusher, a car airbrusher. I did t-shirts and I did surfboards and motorcycle tanks and walls. And then, you know, of course, the next thing you know, I do a Impala, of which I crashed before I turned it back into the person. That's another story I've told on the radio before. But anyway, that's how I got into that whole thing, was because I did an airbrush. And I remember them telling me, you know, our car is our life, and we tell a lot of stories with it. And, it's like almost, you know, other than the lowrider crowds, it's almost a kind of a lost art of having the car actually have tell stories. You know, today it's like, you know, of course, yes, our cars tell stories about us because we're crazy. We got the big fat, you know, engines and the big wing on the back says we're racer boys. But the I think the Hispanics do the best job of having the car have so much of a message on it and many, many airbrushings and stories and, you know, they tell the stories of their lives. All right, we're going to take a little break, come back. The song, very interesting. 21 Pilots, The Heathens. We'll take a little break. Carl, I'm trying to escape from whatever we were talking about in the first segment. We'll be right back. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it's just all over the place today. It's Carl's fault. I've had, obviously, too much coffee this Saturday morning, which makes me not be able to think clearly, but Carl feeds into it. It's your fault, Carl. Carl Brower, he is executive publisher at Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. We were trying like hell to talk about the Geneva Auto Show. I don't know what you did to my brain, but it's just it's all over the place today.
Well, let's steer it back, but with a little bit of a segue, which is, you know, you were talking about personal expression through cars.
Right.
And you're right. There are certain types of cars and certain car cultures where that's really powerful and really strong. You know, the way I got into this industry, one of my first jobs was at Super Street Magazine, which is an import tuner magazine that's
right.
still around. It was fascinating because it was the young kid on the block. I was there when it launched.
Well, you worked at a hot rod, too, right?
Yeah, I worked at Hot Rod first as the editorial assistant, and then I got on to Super Street Magazine as a staff writer right at its launch, October 96. Mm. This is 5 years before the first Fast and Furious movie. So,
right.
You know, I'd be calling up manufacturers and trying to get press cars. And
they'd laugh at you.
Yeah, it's like, can we have like a Prelude Type SH, you know? And they're like, well, what is your magazine? We cover modified Civics and Integras, and they're like, people are modifying Civics and Integras. It's like, yeah, they are actually, you know, and they just totally were ignoring me. Not that I can blame them. But, you know, one of the other cool cars from the Geneva show was the Honda Civic Type R. And this is like the holy grail for that import tuner crowd. I mean, that car is an amazing car. It's never been sold in the U.S. It's been in Europe. It's been in Japan. And it's finally going to be coming to America in this latest version. And it's like the best version. They showed it off in Geneva, and it's just a stunning vehicle. And the horsepower they're talking about and a lot of the cool features, Honda's an expert at this. Now, instead of ignoring that market, they finally started catering to it in the last 20-plus years.
Right.
And now they know exactly how to build a factory car that will really pull in that crowd. And that was another nice, you know, every man car that was at Geneva. You don't have to be a billionaire to buy.
Well, so how much of this is going to actually come back over here to the good old U.S. of A.?
I mean, that's the thing about Geneva is you got to watch it because a lot of times you go over there for show coverage and you end up with, you know, 5 out of the 40 cars that are actually pertaining to this country.
Right. It's a global
but the good thing is,
place.
Yeah, we're getting more global. So more and more of this, the Civic Type R, first time ever. Yay, it'll be sold here. You know, that Fiesta ST, we'll get it here, although there's talk of we'll probably get the four-door version. They showed a three-door, you know, version over there. You know, we'll get the Ferrari, of course. We'll get the Lamborghini. So we're going to get a bunch of the cars that were there that were these really neat cars. And that wasn't true even just like 5 years ago. You'd go to Geneva and you'd scratch, you know, and scrape trying to find something that pertained to the U.S. market.
All right, well, let's talk about the U.S. market for a moment. The New York Auto Show is coming up in April. I'll get to show a bunch of cars on April 10th through the 14th on ABC on Live with Kelley. And I know I get to do a bunch of unveilings. What are you most excited about to see at the New York Auto Show that you won't see because you'll be in Australia?
Yeah, I know. I can't believe I'm missing the show for the first time, like, in ever, because I just decided that this one time I was going to go on spring break with my kids.
Right.
Yeah. No, because I always go to the show, and it's like, sorry, kids, I know you're off this week, but I'm gone. So this time I'm doing that. My son's a senior, and I don't know how many more options I'm going to get for that.
Right.
But this is the year, of course, that Dodge is launching this insane, out-of-control demon challenger that I've been following closely, and everything I hear and see and know sounds pretty amazing. It sounds like they're going to take the Hellcat idea, which already blew people away, 700-horsepower car for, you know, less than $100,000, less than $80,000.
Actually, 60, right? They start around 60.
They start like 64, 65, yeah, I believe, is the starting price. So, yeah, the fact that I loved it when I went on the press trip, and they were like, you know, to get the next car up price-wise, and it was like the Lamborghini. It was one of the Lamborghinis for like $300,000 or $400,000. Well, if you want a 700 horsepower and you're going to the next cheapest car, you know, above the Challenger, it's $340,000 or whatever. So,
well, I will say I know enough to be dangerous, and I know that it's going to be world news. And I just, all I can say is that this thing is going to be wild. So it'll be the Dodge Hellcat Demon, or they'll probably just call it the Demon. But its base, its starting point is a Hellcat, and then they go up from there. And so they keep on releasing these little Easter eggs for us car enthusiasts to find. But I know that it's going to make world news, and I just, all I can say is that it's going to be fun. They're going to have a party on Tuesday night, the 11th, of which I'm going to try and stream live somehow to the world. We should probably somehow try and partner up to do that so you can watch it, Carl, on your own Kelly Blue Book or something, right?
Yeah, it might be 3 a.m. where I'm at, but I'll still watch it if
Who
I can.
Who cares, right?
Yes.
Carl Brower, everybody. Kelly Blue Book, KBB.com, Autotrader.com, and CarlBrower.com. Carl, thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. Stay away from motorcycles, okay?
Good advice. I hate to admit it.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Take care.
There's news and then more of The Drive. Stay with us. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, every so often, I have to check in on the people that I have married. And, yeah, I just said that. I actually am a licensed minister, and I have been since the year 1979. I know, I'm a minister's son. So what do you think? I'm a minister. One of those people that I've married five people. They're all still married, every single one of them. I told them, I said, here's a prerequisite. Even if you're freaking just as miserable as you can be, you stay with that woman. Do you hear me? And they all have. It's pretty crazy. I don't, you know, I've been married 31 years, so I figured if I can do it, you can do it. Matt Valbuena's on the line. He's an engineer for human-machine interface and infotainment at Mazda North America. He is a friend of mine in his 10th anniversary of getting married, and having me officiate the whole thing is coming up. He's got a wonderful little son named Grayson. And how old is Grayson now, by the way, Matt?
He's 6. He'll be turning 7 in April. And then the 10-year anniversary is coming up in September. And the funniest thing about the whole wedding ceremony was, my wife was telling me she was getting her hair ready at the venue, and Alan comes rolling up in an Audi R8, and the hairdresser was like, "Who's that?" My wife's like, "Oh, that's the minister." He's like, "What church is he from?" And it was like, no, he also reviews cars, and yeah.
I was working for, Car and Driver at that time.
Yeah.
But listen, here's the deal. You can get, my friend Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, they call him the Reverend because he also has a minister's license. You can get a license to marry people. That's nobody. You get that through the internet. But I actually happen to have been, you know, ordained by my father when I was 19 years old. So, and I know he did this because he knew I was going to be a tear up. You know what I mean? So he gives me the guilt trip, the Jewish guilt trip of all times. Oh my gosh. So yeah, my dad is a Judeo-Christian. He's born a little Jewish man. He looks like Einstein, yet he converted to Christianity. And, you know, it's interesting to grow up with parents like mine. My dad is from London, England, and my mom is from Birmingham, Alabama. So, you know, I'm George Costanza, stuck right in the middle. I'm a redneck Jew that's Christian, you know? Anyway, so, Matt, first of all, you're on your way and, you know, to this big event, South by Southwest, to do some sort of a thing. And this has been going on. This is like the end of it right now, right? Saturday.
Right.
Things are wrapping up a little bit. What are you doing at South by Southwest? By the way, congratulations on your 10-year anniversary coming up. I should get that out of the way.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. So South by Southwest is kind of like a conference festival all around the ideas of interactive film and music. And Mazda's one of the main sponsors, and we're basically the key automotive partner. But Mazda has a little a venue spot at South by Southwest, and every day they're having different people present and tell stories about Mazda's passion in design or in driving dynamics. And I'm presenting on Mazda's passion for music, and especially because I've been doing some of the premium audio tuning, working with Bose engineers to craft this Mazda signature sound. And I first started on that with the 2016 CX-9. And the new 2017 CX-5, which is hitting dealerships by the end of March, also features the Bose premium audio system with that crafted Mazda spirited sound.
By the way, so the CX-5, I think I showed that on TV last year when I was on ABC with Kelly Ripa. Was it last year or the year before? Do you remember?
Well, it debuted in L.A., so I don't know what you would have shown. It would have been, you might have shown the CX-5, the previous generation, 2 years
ago. Yeah, oh yeah, that would have been 2 years ago. That's right, right, right. No,
yeah,
did I show the CX-9 last year? That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what there you go.
Yeah, I'm always showing these doggone new cars and they all get mixed up. But these numbers, that's the numbers, CX this, CX that, I don't know, you know. But this is the smaller SUV, more of a crossover vehicle that's kind of just right sized, a very nice little machine. And I can't wait to get behind the wheel. And your job, again, is the human-machine interface and the infotainment system. And I got to say something about this.
Yes.
I drove a Toyota Corolla the other day, and it had this gigantic, I don't know, it must have been an 8-inch, you know, infotainment screen on the stereo, whatever they, what do they call that? It's not like a stereo anymore. It's the entertainment
system. That's the infotainment system.
Yeah, infotainment system. Well, you know, and here's the problem I experienced with that. Every time I went to turn the volume up and down, because yes, it has a knob. Some older people still like knobs, Matt, and I know you know that. But there's a knob, and it's on the actual screen of the infotainment system. But the infotainment system is a touch screen, so every time I turn the volume up and down, I would change channels. Yeah. And it drove me nuts to the point that I didn't even want to turn the damn thing on because it takes so much distraction to actually intentionally not touch the screen with my fingertips to make sure I'm only touching the little knob that I thought to myself, I got to call Toyota and tell them about it. Wonderful sound system, but, you know, a poor layout or something, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I focus on, the human-machine interface, how people interact with the in-vehicle technology. So it's a look at the placement of the controls on the steering wheel or on the console or on the dash, and making sure that it's an intuitive layout, but also something that allows you to operate the function without taking your eyes off the road.
All right, hold tight.
Mazda has a very strong driving philosophy, and we want to make sure that we preserve that with our infotainment system.
All right, hold tight. Got to pay the bills. We're taking donations today here at the Church of Cars. All right, Matthew Valbuena, he's a good friend of mine. We've been playing together in the car business for about 14, 15 years. He is the human-machine interface infotainment monkey over at Mazda. We'll be right back to talk more about that stuff.
Not a trace.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Listening to The Drive, and our show is brought to you in part by Barrett Jackson. Coming up the 6th through the 8th in West Palm Beach, Florida, Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction and Exhibition. I'll be there doing a live stream, live broadcast from the Shell Pioneering Performance Stage at Barrett Jackson. And we're proud to be involved with all those groups right there, Shell and Pennzoil and Barrett Jackson. And on the line is Matthew Valbuena. He's from Mazda. We're talking about their infotainment systems and the human-machine interface. Before, I know you got to get on an airplane to get the hell out of there, and hopefully you can at least finish this segment with us. You know, it seems to me like it used to be that, you know, like my son, I go, what are you going to do tonight? He goes, I'm going to go over and put a new stereo in my car. And it's like, it's got an older Toyota pickup. And I right. go, that day is gone. I mean, who does? You can't even do that in new cars today. You pull that sucker out of there, you're like disabled. The car probably won't even drive anymore. You know that
it's getting more and more difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with these integrated dashboards and then the convergence of all these functions. I mean, you have vehicle setting menus in the radio, so like you can tell it if you want the keyless entry to honk the horn when you lock it. All those settings are
right.
in the factory radio. So when you replace it, it gets a lot more expensive to kind of retain those features and a lot more complicated.
Well, it's made
but at the same time.
It's made aftermarket almost obsolete, man. I mean, you used to work at Pioneer. What are they doing, right? They're relying
yeah.
on all the old classic cars is all they got left. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, you look at the cars on the road today. I mean, the average vehicle age is about 11 and a half, 12 years old. So there's still a large amount of older vehicles on the road. But
not for long.
The thing that's been interesting, true, but the thing that's been interesting to see is how many technological advancements have come from the OEMs. For the longest time, it used to come from the aftermarket. So that was the big drive to replace the factory radio with something that you would pick up at a Best Buy or at a local car stereo retailer. But nowadays, the innovations such as like CarPlay and Android Auto and these telematics control features and also are happening by the automakers before it happens in the aftermarket. So there's not as much of a compelling reason to remove what's in your dash and go aftermarket.
Yeah. I particularly like, and I hope you guys do it, I don't know, here's the question, I particularly like Apple CarPlay for my iPhone. I get in, it's like, boom, I recognize everything. There's no learning curve because I'm pretty stupid. And do you guys have that or do you have your own thing?
We don't have CarPlay currently, but it is something that we are working on. And when it is ready, it will be something that can be applied to existing vehicles. So you're not going to be left out in the dark just because you happen to buy a 2016 and a half, and it's a 2017 feature.
Right.
That's not the plan. So when it is ready, customers with Mazda Connect-enabled systems will be able to upgrade to add that functionality.
I think that, you know, making it to where you just plug your phone in, or even at some point it's a wireless, you know, you just drop it on the little charging pad or whatever it's going to be.
Right.
It instantly recognizes whatever kind of phone you have and says, okay, we know what you, the consumer, the driver, want to see. You want to see exactly what, you know, you're used to, which is your phone that you interact with a billion times a day on that big screen. And also then it disables some of the things you shouldn't be, like video, and you shouldn't be looking at those while you're driving.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that it's getting so much better. So, all right, listen, I know you got to go and we got to go too. You'll have to come on again to talk about the CX-5. Maybe when I get it, can I call you back when I get it to drive and we can talk about some of the things
sure.
that I like and don't?
Yeah.
This is how we change the auto industry.
There's not going to be much that you don't like.
I hope not, for your sake. Because, you know, I mean, what would we wouldn't have much of a friendship if I call you and I go, dude, you did a terrible job. I hope, you know, the
hey,
guys.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I hope the guys at Toyota are okay with me calling them up and giving them some crap about their particular stereo. Although the stereo worked great, it just really had some funky things it was doing. Matthew Valbuena, thank you, brother. Fly safe.
Thanks.
Say hi to Grayson for me and your wife, Jeanette. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
It's time to streamline your tools with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt cordless system. One C3 battery helps your tool work longer and powers over 30 different tools like the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt hammer drill. The compact hammer drill pushes out up to 515 inch-pounds of torque to handle even your toughest drilling and driving projects. A Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck and an LED work light makes this hammer drill durable and versatile. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, it is, and it is also The Drive with BJ Colleen. How long have you been doing this radio show with me now, BJ?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Years.
I know. Years. So it's The Drive with Alan Taylor, BJ Colleen, and it used to be Matthew Valbena who was just on with us, but since he got his job, his big highfalutin job with Mazda, he can't actually be a contributor anymore unless he's talking about his crap. I hate that. Anyway, yeah, I made fun of him a little bit. He's not used to it because now he's all corporate, but he's still the Matt Valbuena that we love.
Good.
So you told me you got a new gig too, by the way. Who else are you writing for these days?
There's a lot of local papers in Vegas, and I'm stunned at how many there are. And there's one called the Vegas Voice, and it's for the Anthem area. It's about 100,000 readership. And I met the editor and the publisher at an event, and I said, you know, I read it, and I noticed you don't have any car information in there. And he goes, that would be perfect because they're switching over from a newspaper to a magazine format. So he said, I'd love to talk to you. So we sat down, and now I'm doing a column for them.
Well, you know what? Month. You tell that sucker he cannot have you. I'm sorry. Well, you're part of this show.
You can share me. It's only 350 words, so it's okay. Which is, you know what? When you think about it, it's a lot harder to write 350 words than it is to write 2,500 words.
Yeah.
Because you got to be concise and clean, and it really does help clean up my writing. There's no question. I tend to use a lot of words. You'd think I got paid by that word, but
yeah.
I don't.
It's like radio. Anyway, so long format radio. You have to stretch everything out. And that's when you have a minute, you got to make it, you know, and then it turns into a commercial. Nobody wants to hear that. You know?
I agree. Yeah. So it's called The Vegas Voice, and you can start to read it on thevegasvoice.net if you want to look at it online, because it only comes out to the local area that I'm in. But we're going to talk about, you know, different things and not necessarily car reviews, although I might do some short ones in there, depending on what the vehicle is. But, you know, it's things that are important to the people in the community, so more like seniors and, you know, addressing issues and explaining things like autonomous cars, right. You know, because autonomous vehicles can be scary to some people. But once they understand, and I think that's my second column I'm going to talk about, you know what, it's really great for you, because if you can't see anymore or if you have somebody who has special needs and can't drive anymore, an autonomous vehicle is there for you instead of having to call Uber that you don't may not trust, or, you know, you can still have your own car. You can still have your independence and not necessarily be driving the car. So,
right.
You know, stories like that I'll cover, and, you know, talking about, you know, just all kinds of things. And so it's going to be kind of fun because I can decide what I want to write, and, you know, it's like I can do what I want. So it's going to be a fun little column that I'm looking forward to working on. So
well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're talking about, you know, being afraid of autonomous cars. I'm only afraid when they're coming at me, you know, I want to run. You and I both drive a lot of cars, but I drove something the other day that I kept thinking to myself, it must be that because now that marijuana is legal, that the designers are like huffing and puffing away on this stuff at the car dealer manufacturers. And I'll tell you why. I'm driving the new Mini Cooper Countryman, right? And so imagine, you work at Mini, you're smoking a doobie, it's legal, right? So there's nothing, it's like having a beer. And you're smoking a doobie and you say to the other designer, you go, dude, let's play a joke on these guys. This thing's called the Mini. Let's make the biggest freaking Mini they've ever seen. Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it. So they make this gigantic Mini Cooper, right? I was sitting next to my friend has a
Maxi.
Yeah, right. It's yeah. My friend pulls up in a Ford Taurus, like a 2001 Taurus, which was a full-size car. And I'm looking and my brain is going, something does not compute. Mini Cooper bigger than Ford Taurus. Help. I don't know what's going on. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe the legalization of marijuana has had an interesting effect on the car industry. So, and they're going to have the first ever plug-in hybrid available in the Countryman as a Cooper SE in the all-four variant, which the all-four is their all-wheel drive. So this thing is not only huge, it's four-wheel drive. And they call it all four. It's like an all-wheel drive system. And the hybrid's going to go on sale this summer, like June time. But again, I think they were kind of smoking a whole bunch of doobies because the price is awful up there. It's like $38,000 with everything under the sun. I mean, moonroof and custom wheels and a big gigantic stereo. By the way, have you ever looked at the dash of a Mini? I know you have.
I don't like it.
Well, they've got a gigantic clock in there. Remember the guy? What was the guy's name that had the gigantic clock he would wear on a big gold chain around his chest? You guys remember that here in the studio?
Flavor Flav.
They decided to put a clock, a gigantic round clock, right in the middle of the dash, and it's got so much going on in there. It's like they saw the Tesla and they go, "All right, Tesla, we're going to put a gigantic round screen in the middle of the dash and screw you." And so it's like, yeah, you got a lot going on. And actually, I kind of dig it. So I'm kind of weird. I kind of dig it. It's just got a lot going on. It's like the most completely absolute opposite of ordinary. And that's what Minis are. Now, obviously made by and owned by BMW. I went to the Mini factory in 2002 when they brought the Mini Cooper back. They build these things like they're going to the moon. I got to tell you, twice as many spot welds as required. You know, I watched some crash test stuff. It's craziness. But now this is like the biggest Mini ever made.
You know, the Mini owners are a cult. You know, they love their little cars and they're happy with them. But you know, the sales wise, when the Countryman came out first, you know, in 2010, it didn't sell that many. The best selling year was 2014. It sold 22,000. Last year went down to 12,000. So it's, you know, and they only sold less than 1,000.
Well, you know what? They're now evidently legalized pot. They're smoking it. They're making gigantic Mini Coopers, like a big giant doobie. Let me take a break. We'll come back and talk some more on the other side.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a Torque Flight 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor
and BJ Colleen, and we're talking about the 2017 new Mini Cooper Countryman. Two different engines available. Ready for this? Marijuana is legal in many states. I just wanted to say that. 134 horsepower, three-cylinder in the Countryman. And in the Countryman S, there's a four-cylinder with 189 horsepower, two-liter engine. 134 horsepower. I guess there are people that just don't care about 0 to 60 times. And I happen, you know me, I have a Viper, so it's like it's so important to me. I actually have 10 cylinders in a car that weighs the same as their three-cylinder. So, and that's not quite enough cylinders for me, but that's all they made. So that's what I would take for now. 10 is good. This car, by the way, again, the way I drove it fully, completely loaded was at $38,000, all wheel drive, lots of stuff, BJ, by the way, an expansive panorama sunroof. I liked it. Very, very nice. Sensatec leatherette upholstery, not leather. Leatherette.
Right.
But you really don't hardly notice the difference. The Comfort Access keyless entry. I do like that. I really must admit that keeping the key in your pocket and the car kind of knowing you when you walk up to it and you touch the car and it unlocks, that's kind of cool. Mini connection infotainment. That's the Flava Flav system I was talking about. rear view camera with guidelines. That is the coolest invention known to humankind when it comes to cars. Because as I get older and my chiropractor gets more expensive, I go to him less, which means I can't really turn my head that far anymore. So having the camera and actually not having to turn my head too much is pretty darn cool. That camera, by the way, is detachable, and you can put it in the hotel room, the room next to you, if you can get in there and watch it from your car.
That's worth it then. I'm all for that.
Bluetooth supporting telephone aid system, you know, to where you get in the car, it hooks up to your phone. All cars have that these days. If it doesn't, you know, don't buy it, because that's the smartest thing in the world. Audio streaming and Siri eyes free. Eyes free? I guess if you don't have eyes, you can drive this car too. Automatic headlights and rain-sensing windshield wipers. Again, this car had every freaking thing in the world. But again, because marijuana is legal, we've got gigantic Mini Coopers running around. They're like the size of Suburbans. This one is big. It holds 13 people. I'm joking. Very comfortable car. Very nice driving. Mini Cooper does give that, you know, a fun-to-drive factor of 26. You know, where most you don't, if you get to 10, you're good. This is so fun to drive because it handles like a go-kart. It has some really, really good qualities, but I just think that it's big. And most people, when they think of Mini, they want that little Mini fun kind of thing. And they could be on the dangerous edge of becoming too big. So that's really the question. Again, my job is to report all kinds of silliness, including whether the CAFE standards are changing. Actually, that's your job. What's going on with that?
Are we changing topics? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, moving on.
We can do a nice segue here.
You got too quiet, so I figured everybody else is getting bored too.
No. The Mini Cooper comes with a standard 1.5-liter three-cylinder engine, and you're like, wow, that's small. But the truth is that in Europe, you get taxed on engines over 1.5 liters. So in order to avoid that taxation, that's why they had a 1.5-liter engine.
But it's still 134 horsepower, man. It can't get out of its way.
Yeah, not for a vehicle that size.
There's two different – I think because there are two different types of people, the people like me that, you know, that want to just kind of haul ass everywhere, and the people like you that are very happy just getting to the store and taking their time. You listen, I've driven with you. You don't even let me read my phone while I'm driving.
Well, no, I don't. On the street. Now, you let me loose on a track, and it's a different story. Okay. So that's the truth. I won't get off a track if you put me on it with this car. But, I tend to be more sedate on the street. I've learned over the years that if you want to be an idiot, go out to the track and drive, whether you're not going to hurt anybody or run over anybody.
That's the reason why I've been caged onto a track for the last 7 years of my life. So all opinions are professional driver caged into a track. But you said Trump was talking about changing the CAFE standards, though, right?
Yeah, you know, he's the president is changing everything, and everything should be looked at, let's be honest. You know, he's not a big fan of the EPA, and the EPA started out, it was supposed to do some things and then close up, and it never did. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the CAFE requirements, or corporate average fuel economy requirements, are set at 54.5 miles per gallon for every vehicle manufacturer's fleet by 2025. Well, you know what? Truthfully, it ain't that far away, and we don't have that capability yet. So, you know, people are saying, well, they're sandbagging, they're lying. The truth is they don't have the battery technology to get there yet. People don't want to buy the cars, so you can't – just because you're building them doesn't mean people are going to buy them. So they've asked President Trump to look at this number and see what they can do about it. You know, maybe they can extend it a little bit more. Maybe they can exempt trucks from it, because let's face it, you know, trucks are the number one selling vehicle, trucks and large SUVs. And, you know, while they're doing good things with them and they're offering hybrids and things, you're still not getting those kind of numbers. And, you know, it means, okay, if it's going to be 54.5, then we have to sell a lot of hybrid vehicles and a lot of electric vehicles. Well, the electric vehicle doesn't have the range. People aren't buying those cars. The sales actually went down last year for hybrids and electric vehicles. So you can't force people to buy something they don't want, which means they're going to start penalizing these manufacturers. And if that happens, you know who's going to be paying the price, don't you?
Yep, me.
That's right. Those who buy the cars, they're going to tack on that price to the cars. So it's just a crazy, vicious cycle that I think if they take a look at this and be more practical about that fuel economy requirement, because I think it's like 24, 28 now, something like that. Why are we jumping 20? Because the Obama administration said arbitrarily, you're going to do it. That's all there is to it. Well, you know, it's like you can't squeeze blood from a turnip. You've heard that saying before.
Right. Water from a rock. Yeah.
Water from a rock. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, instead of making all these guys go crazy and spending a lot of R&D development money on something that, that they can't make happen yet. Trust me, the first guy who can make an electric vehicle go 500 miles, you know, on a single charge, you think they're not going to bring that car out? It's not like they're hiding it. You know, they want to have it too, because that's right. A big deal. So
sure. They're not in the oil business. They're in the car business.
You're right. Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. They're in the car business. So, you know, he's going to be speaking to the auto workers and the car executives and trying to figure out making something more realistic that's going to allow the automakers to continue to grow and keep adding jobs. And so I'm all for that.
You know, interesting. I was looking while you're blathering away there, like you do when I'm talking. the biggest and most adventurous Mini Cooper yet will also be coming out, and I think I mentioned this, as a plug-in hybrid. But it will have that three-cylinder engine along with hybrid combined. Peak output will be 221 horsepower with a E rear axle, enabling you to get this all-wheel, or what they call all-four traction, the kind of the four-wheel drive. And this is actually maybe the most interesting package that they're going to have, believe it or not. You got plenty of horsepower. You're going to get really good fuel economy. It's a plug-in, so the first probably 25 or 40 miles or whatever it might be, will
24.
Be, what is that, what it is, 24? See,
24 good, on pure electric power.
Okay, yeah. Pretty good guess, because yeah. You never yeah. know. I mean, it continues to creep up. That'll be out summertime. These other ones, the Mini Cooper Countryman and the Mini Cooper Countryman S, are actually going on sale right now in March. So if you got about 30, a little more than 30 grand for a kind of a base model, a very fun little vehicle, four doors, plenty of room. It's the biggest Mini ever made, and all-wheel drive, and there are so many different types of buyers out there. There's little cute things about this car that make you just love it. And I happen to be a Mini lover myself, but I also think that, you know, man, the price creeps up, but it's creeping up on everything. So, you know, whatever. All right, listen, I got to take a break. I got to interview some other folks. You have been awesome. When am I going to see you again, by the way?
Oh, probably next week.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. I'm coming to visit.
I'm around for a while.
Get the hot tub warmed up.
Oh, I did last night, baby.
I saw that on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, The Drive with Alan Taylor. Go give it a like, please. I'm only at like 32,000. No, 3,200. How embarrassing. What the hell is that, everybody?
It's get to 32,000.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We'll take a break. BJ, thank you. Love you. Be good.
Bye.
Okay, we'll be right back. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider The Source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but I like women. That's why I have one as a co-host. They're smarter than me. They're all over my office. I'm married to one. I have a daughter. My poor boys, you know, I'm like, get out of here. Let your sister come over here and answer that. She's the smart. And she actually is quite brilliant. She's actually now a teacher. Which is kind of cool. But yes, women rule my life and my world, and I have determined that they are much, much smarter in every way, shape, and form than I am. And so this is a little bit interesting, and I didn't perhaps maybe let BJ be on the phone because I don't want her head to swell, but women in my world have made me a much better businessman, person, father, husband, and car guy. And it's funny because I married a woman who doesn't care about cars. Matter of fact, in 1984, I got a new Corvette, and the 84 Corvette was like this space age thing. It was about the time I remember of Back to the Future, and they had that DeLorean car. Well, I had a Corvette, and my wife, who was I was dating her at the time, she gets into my new car, and I go, what do you think of my new car? And she goes, oh, it's okay. What is it? I'm like, it's okay. Oh my God, what happened? You know, how could she? It's not okay. It's the most awesome thing in the world. But you know what? She cared about me, And that was what was more important to her than the car. So as you can tell, you know, I have embraced that. And I've also embraced listening to these women in my life. And guess what? That was probably the smartest move I've ever made. So I work with a lot of ladies also over at Shell, and I'm going to be working with the Shell Eco Marathon coming up at the end of April. And I've already been, you know, a couple times. It's an amazing event. But the ladies, the girls, the women that are involved with cars and engineering and technology and all the stuff that are, you know, that is in the car world is amazing. And they dig it. There was a girls team, I remember. They were a bunch of, you know, I'm going to say teenage girls. And I said to them, I go, so what do you got going on here? And she said, oh, this is, you know, our car for the Eco Marathon. And, you know, we figured it's going to get, you know, 950 miles to 1,000 miles out of a gallon of gas. And I'm like, what? I thought she was joking, of course. I thought they're playing a joke on me. No, that's what they're doing at the Eco Marathon. They have all these teams, like, I don't even know how, thousands of people are coming, hundreds of teams trying to use engineering and math and science at this very young age of high school and college to do amazing things. On the line with us is Lori Harvey, manager of STEM, S-T-E-M, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM educational outreach and CSR programs. Don't know what CSR stands for, Lori, at Hitachi Automotive, Hitachi USA, and they are partnered with Shell. What are you guys doing? What is it you're doing?
We are actually getting girls engaged in the sciences and technologies to not only like your car, but to build your car and stay interested in the technologies behind the sciences, and in this case with Shell, the fuel, the mechanics, and the technology, the software that's in cars now at this point in time, and to help better our future with the environment.
So mentorship, really, and grooming the next generation of females in math and science and engineering and for the car industry, right?
And showing them that they can do these jobs. That what is traditionally been a male position of, for example, say a mechanic, having a female mechanic partner up with the student at a young age at the upper elementary high school level and showing them, hey, you like working with cars? Let's go.
I love
it. Come on, come in and work on this.
I absolutely
love
it.
Showing them that they can do it.
My hat's off to you guys. How do people find out more information about the STEM Educational Outreach Program?
With Hitachi, it's inspirestemeducation.us.
Okay.
And then at the Shell event, there's going to be a hands-on project-based area. If they come to the event, they'll be able to get all kinds of resources to see how to engage in STEM.
I love it. Well, we're going to talk to one of the students here in just a moment, Kelsey Green, Shell Eco Marathon America student participant from Granite Falls High School. And I love this stuff. I remember one of the gals I went to high school with became a BMW mechanic. I was jealous. Lori, thank you very much. Hats off to Hitachi.
You.
All right. We'll take a little break. Come back and talk to a high school student who's going to kick some butt getting about 1,000 miles to the gallon out of these crazy contraptions they make. And I'll tell you more about it as the Eco Marathon gets a little closer. You're listening to The Drive. Got a whole If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love! It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. What teen spirit smells like. That's what it says. It says, the song is called Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. True story. That is the name of the song. We have a teenager on the line, Kelsey Green. She is the Shell Eco Marathon America student participant from Granite Falls High School and Shell Eco Marathon team. So, Kelsey, welcome to the show. I just got done talking to the folks over at Hitachi Automotive about how they're helping to get more, you know, ladies, women, people into the automotive world. What actually, you know, what got you going in this? What I'm just curious where this desire to be in the kind of the car business, you might say, where did it come from, Kelsey?
So my dad is actually an engineer for Boeing. He's a technical functional test engineer, and it worked on airplanes, and so I've always had an interest in engineering. But my sister, Nancel, was on the shop girls team, and I got interested in the automotive from the program and seeing the Shell Eco Marathon, America's competition.
And how long have you been doing this?
4 years.
Wow. How many miles per gallon is your machine getting?
524 miles to the gallon.
Oh, geez. What are you going to do? You're going to have to fix that. Some of them are getting 1,000 miles to the gallon. You're dropping the ball there, Kelsey.
Well, you see, there's different categories, Alan.
Yeah.
What kind of car do you drive?
A Dodge Viper ACR, 10 cylinders.
And how many miles to the gallon does that get?
How many gallons to the mile does it get? Depends on how hard I push down on the gas. Actually, it probably gets about, I don't know. Gosh, I don't drive it like a normal human being. It's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when I get behind the wheel. I don't know any miles to the gallon it gets. It gets a tank full in about an hour the way I drive it. But I get it. So there are different categories. So your engine is bigger or your vehicle weighs more or something like that, right?
That is correct.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we're in the urban concept category.
Ah.
Which is a more street legal car.
I got you. Yeah, because I noticed there was some of them where it looked like bicycles and people are laying down. And then one guy put a sail up one time. I thought it was kind of funny. And then there were some that actually looked like cars, kind of, you know, small cars. But gosh, this is so interesting. So let's say you go through this and you follow this trajectory in your life. I got to tell you, I mean, look at Mary Barra, who's the president and chairman of the board of General Motors. By the way, who I respect greatly. And I have many women in my life who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. As a matter of fact, I had one friend just the other day. She got her master's degree in teaching by the age of 21. You folks, obviously, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. So from that planet that you're from, are much superior brain-wise to us male counterparts. I have a lot of respect for that. And I love seeing women in the automotive industry because, you know, sure, they can love cars, but they think differently than guys do. Guys are like, oh, let's go fast, rah, rah, you know, and girls are like, well, if they have children, obviously they got to think about the children, and they have long fingernails. Well, how am I going to get in the car, make the door handle shape differently? So the cars have been so much more, I don't know, thoughtfully and ergonomically designed by women who are not as, you know, gross as men, I guess you might say, you know, because guys are like, let's drool on each other kind of thing. But I love it. I love what you guys are doing. I love that there are so many women in the automotive, you know, the Shell Eco Marathon automotive space. What do you want to be then in that case? If you follow this trajectory do you want to be in the auto industry, the aerospace industry like Dad? What do you want to do?
I want to go into automotive engineering and minor in business.
Ooh, gosh, that's awesome. Well, so tell the world how they can find more about you. Is there a website they can see what you guys are doing over there? Granite Falls?
So we have a Facebook page, which is the Granite Falls High School Eco Car Teams, and we post on there updates from our program, and we'll be in Detroit on April 25th.
Now, wait a minute. I'm reading something. You're the team captain for the Urban Autos All Boys team?
Yes.
Oh,
I also drive.
That is so awesome. I love it. All right. Well, here's another song that is just for you. Have you ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I have.
Okay. Well, this is my favorite song. My favorite television movie ever, period. It's now on TV. So, but if you guys want to see a fun show, you want to see what Alan Taylor's like in real life, I'm just an old Ferris Bueller. Kelsey, best of luck. I'll see you out there. I'll be emceeing the event for the Eco Marathon. I'd love to get you up on stage. We'll talk again, meet in person. Kelsey Green, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you out at in Detroit at the Eco Marathon end of April. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been The Drive. We'll be back for another episode next week.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.